Turn in your Bibles one more time. How many learned, you don't have to raise your hand necessarily. So why am I asking it, I guess? I guess that makes sense. Why not? I mean, you don't have to answer, but how many of you learned 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 last week, memorized it for the first time? Or maybe you were familiar with it, but you, hey, I love that. We got some hands up, and I know there are more. The purpose for 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given me, we're personalizing, all right? God has not given you is the scripture. So we're personalizing. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of. Do you find it interesting that love is in the middle? Isn't that beautiful? Love's right in the middle, right where it belongs. Would you say with me, God has not given me spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. What am I doing by bringing this up again this week? Would you turn with me to the scripture then? I'm going to just be led of the Holy Spirit, how we do this, but I want to do a lot of, I don't know if I'll title it. I'm tired of titles, by the way. So whether we do, I might give a title, if the Lord leads me in individual services. If not, we'll just enjoy the Word of God. Amen? 2 Timothy, we're going to be talking a lot about faith. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And in this, we're going to continue to confirm and affirm our stance on grace. Because we know that it is by grace, through faith, that we have received the gift of God, which is salvation. How many are glad today for the gift of God? Amen. Hallelujah. Three of you. How many, I'm going to try this side. How many are glad in here for the gift of, there we go. You guys need to learn. How many are glad in here for the gift of God? Hallelujah. Salvation. 2 Timothy, I better get there with you, huh? I've gone by it twice. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Now, this is where we started last week. For God hath not given us. Let's go ahead and read it together. I know most of you know it by heart, but I want to, one more time, lay this in there. For God, say it together. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, with sound mind. Now, I want you to read it with me again and say it like you mean it a little bit. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Now I want you to say it like you really believe it. Are you ready? One, two, three, go. For God hath not given me the spirit. This is the way it ought to be done in the pickup or the car on the way to work or in the shower in the morning when you're having the lowest blue. Am I interrupting you? I'm glad. This is what I'm talking about. Are you ready? Say it like you mean it. I mean, if you got to stand up and do it, let's say it. For God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Can you give the Lord a hand clap of praise today? See, what am I doing? Well, I'll show you exactly what I'm doing. This is a beautiful letter. Now, how many know that very little of the scriptures was written to you? It is true. Some of you are looking at me, okay, I'm leaving, I'm out. Let me set you at ease. It's all written for you. Every bit of it's written for you. But these, inspired by the Holy Spirit, are letters written to specific individuals, specific church bodies, home groups, probably more accurate in many, many ways, written specifically to people, and in that is a timeless message by the Holy Spirit for everyone who hears and receives. This is what Paul, telling young Timothy, the book that we're in, says that all Scripture is God-breathed and is given for instruction, for reproof, for encouragement. Amen? And on and on. We'll look at that as time allows. But in this, to make it very, very real, to bring it to what we're talking about, look at the opening of this letter, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Man, this is just precious stuff. I hope that we don't just come and hear a message once a week and we go to our home groups and hear another little message and we have our favorite preacher on Saturday morning and we hear another message. I hope that we are digging into this book for ourselves. That we're like the Bereans who Paul admired because they daily searched the scriptures to see if what Paul was saying was true. Spoke very highly of them. To Timothy, my dearly, hence I said, this is not written to you, but it's all written for you. To Timothy, he says here, my dearly beloved son. Speaking to a young pastor, he says, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, with pure conscience, Paul, who tells us in Philippians 3, he is a Jew among Jews. And if you want to brag about who is a true Jew, he said, let me tell you. But he said, I consider all this nothing in the light of a newfound faith by righteousness in Jesus Christ. You can see that in Philippians 3. And so this is a reference back to that. He's speaking of his Jewish forefathers. He says, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. And I'm reading out of the King James. Yours may sound a little different. He says, when I call, it says, greatly desiring, verse 4, greatly desiring to see you or see thee by being mindful of thy tears that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned, if you look in the original, it says sincere. Maybe that makes it a little bit closer. When I call to remembrance the sincere, the legitimate, the real faith that is in thee, which first was in your grandmother Lois, and your mother, Eunice. Now, there's a whole story behind who they are, who his father was. I don't have time to go. That's beautiful. Okay, let's move forward. Okay, he says, and I am persuaded that is in you also, in thee also. I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. Everybody say unfeigned faith, okay? Wherefore, verse 6, I put you in remembrance, that you stir up the gift of God which is in you by the putting on or the laying on of hands. Now, I've heard and I've taught it for many years, and I don't think it doesn't fit. I just think we have to kind of jump to conclusions a little bit. How many know that the only exercise some people get is jumping to conclusions? But we have to make a little bit of an assumption that this is only speaking, and specifically speaking, of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It fits. But I think it's a little bit of a reach to say it is only this. Because we don't really know. It could be a gift. He spoke of a gift. He spoke of something that had come down the line, a faith. Okay, how many know that the gift of God is referenced as salvation? So salvation itself, and then the gift that came with it, we don't really know. The baptism of the Holy Spirit thing works nicely here, because it would, you know, we know that many receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost through the laying on of hands. But I want us to just stick to Scripture and not add anything to it. Here's what he says, wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in you. It would make sense to me that that would be the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but I can't make that assumption utterly and completely and totally. I have to be open to the fact that there's something going on here that was imparted through the laying on of hands. It could have been his ministry. It could have been that calling that was on his life before he was even aware of it, and something that Paul knew. Is that okay? Can we just be open and honest with this and just leave things where they are? He says, I tell you to stir up, put yourself in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the laying on of hands. Whatever that gift was, he is telling Timothy to stir up the gift. Now, could that be applied by the Holy Ghost? Well, of course it could. You have Ephesians chapter 5, which tells us, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but rather be filled with the Holy Ghost. How? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Thanksgiving in the middle of the battle will usher in the work of the Holy Spirit quicker than anything else. It is one of the deepest forms of faith. Aren't you glad for that today? Okay, so we have, you know, could it fit there? How many today, after studying grace now for a number of years, could say that the gift of God given to you by grace through faith is something that now you're aware of, that your daily walk of faith, the number one demand on your faith is to believe daily, every morning, that the Old Testament says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies, they never come to an end. They are new every morning. Find me that scripture. New every morning. And interrupt me in a little bit so we can remember. See if you can find it. Great is thy faithfulness is the way it ends. How many are glad for the newness? How many know that Paul tells us that the biggest demand on our faith is not for healing, not for provision? In fact, Jesus seems to tell us that using your faith for personal needs is unnecessary. Here's what he says in Matthew chapter 6. He says, don't worry about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, where you're going to live. He says, don't worry about those things. He said, this is the stuff that the Gentiles, and of course this is a reference, him being at that point still a rabbi, operating under Jewish law, making the bend, knowing who he was, bringing one covenant to an end, and bringing in a new covenant through his death, burial, and resurrection. Did I lose you? Okay, so here he is, and he's laying down some truths. He's showing the intent of the law, the purpose for the law. And he challenges, I mean, it's incredible the way he challenges people with this whole mindset. So in Matthew 6, 33, the well-known scripture that says this, seek ye first the kingdom of God. How many know we can still learn that lesson every day, all day long? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That would take on a whole new meaning after his death, burial, and resurrection. Because righteousness would no longer be works of the law that I seek to attain to in order to be loved by, approved by, and blessed by God. But it would become a gift, a free gift, by grace through faith. Are you saved? Isn't that beautiful? Okay. So, Matthew 6, he's saying, don't worry about these things. Now, how much more is that so then for those of us who have received Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior and now live in a new and living way, as Hebrews says it? Okay. So, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. It kind of reminds me of the picture of there's something so beautiful about the wake that follows a boat. Always has been since I was a little boy. It's brand new. It takes ugly water and builds a beautiful picture. It speaks of force and power and direction. I love looking at the wake. If I didn't have to steer sometimes, I could be mesmerized by the wake behind a boat. It's absolutely beautiful. And as I'm moving forward effortlessly, a beautiful new picture is being created on the surface of the waters. Isn't that beautiful? This is the way Jesus taught us to live. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. In other words, a lot of the stuff that you're worrying about is going nowhere anyway. Seek first the kingdom of God. Find out what that is. And his righteousness. And boy, he made that easy. We're going to talk